Well, we're working our way through the Gospel of Matthew. We've reached the third chapter. And we've only been at it for 3 years. No, we haven't been at it that long. But we are taking our time. We're meeting a new character in the story of the Gospel today. We're meeting John the Baptist. Most of us know him. But we're getting our first introduction to him in Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to spend some time with John over the next 3 weeks. So we're going to begin today by looking at Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. We're told John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord. God believes in making sure that everything is prepared, everything is right. He prepares our hearts for hearing the gospel. Many of us can testify that when we came to faith in Jesus Christ and when we look back over our lives, we could actually see God working for some time before we ever really became aware that he was there. Matthew tells us that the prophets said that a man would come, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord." And John prepared that way through a very simple message, the message of repentance. His message is summarized by Matthew in less than a dozen words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In Mark's Gospel, the ministry of Jesus begins with a very similar message. The time is short, the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. In Luke's Gospel, we're told that when John the Baptist came, his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As we go through the book of Acts and as we go through the letters of Paul, we discover that time and time again, John the Baptist is mentioned, and always his message is the same, repent. We're told that John's was a ministry of repentance. He encouraged people to repent, and when they did repent, he provided an outward sign to remind them of that repentance. Baptism in the Jordan River. The word baptized in Greek simply means to wash or to bathe. And so for him it was emblematic of the washing of regeneration, as Paul refers to it. The kind of cleansing that washes us of the spot of sin and makes us clean. But John also realized that his message was not his own. He did not come in isolation. And in fact, he himself is not the center of attention. He is rather coming to point the way to another person. He's coming to prepare the hearts of the people so that when this other person would come, they would be ready to receive him. They would be ready to hear him. They would be better prepared to understand him because they would be more focused on the kind of message that he would bring. And when Jesus came, indeed, John pointed to him and said, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John realized that the water baptism that he was offering to the people was only a sign. Water can wash dirt off of our hands, but it cannot wash the heart. It cannot cleanse the soul. It cannot take the wrong things we have done and atone for them or make up for them. or make them as though they had not been. And indeed, water baptism itself is unable to help us repent. But it is a reminder to us of the importance of repentance. As we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see an interesting thing. We see that while people responded at his coming, the longer he was here and the more he preached, the less the people responded. In a way, it's as if John the Baptist failed in his mission, because he did not prepare the people for the coming of Christ, because when Jesus came, their hearts were hard. They listened and they came as long as they could receive a blessing, healing of their sicknesses, bread to eat, even as Moses during the Exodus provided manna at the command of God. But when Jesus began teaching and instructing them on the kind of people that they were to be, then they lost interest. As we look at the ministry of John the Baptist this morning, I think we can understand why this happened. We discover that words have meaning, and that words that may seem to mean the same sometimes don't. In today's lesson, we are told two things. We are told that John brought a message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we are told the reaction of the people. The people went out to hear him, and confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John said, repent. The people confessed their sins. You would think John was successful. Unfortunately, he was not. The people did not respond to the message of John. They went so far, but no further. John required that they repent, but all they would do was confess. Now, to us, confessing our sins and repenting our sins may sound like the same thing, but they aren't. Confessing our sins is easy. We simply admit to having done something or having not done something that we should have. Usually we won't do it until we absolutely have to. But when we have to, when we're caught red-handed, so to speak, and everybody else already knows what it is we've done, then it's easy to confess, yes, I did it. Reminds me of the story I just read about this morning of a woman who's driving down the highway a little faster than she should have. When she got pulled over by the state police, she thought, I'm going to take care of this. So she rolled her window down. The officer came up to her, and she said in a very nervous and excited tone, officer, officer, this has never happened to me before. And the officer said, oh, really? What, before they didn't stop you, they shot your tires out? Is that what they did? Well, she was caught. Of course, sometimes even when we're caught, we don't like to admit it. I know of one person that, When the policeman said you were speeding, you were going 85 miles an hour, she said, oh, officer, my car doesn't go that fast. But most of us are smart enough to know that when we're caught, we might as well admit to it. Unfortunately, admitting to our sin and repenting are two different things. In fact, today, confessing our sin seems to be very popular. People write books in which they confess all kinds of things. They seem to have no problem confessing even the most despicable sin. But when you look at their confession, it reads more like a pronouncement. It reads more like something that they're proud of rather than something that they really wish they hadn't done. Today, it almost seems as though if you don't have a sordid story to tell about terrible things that you've done, you might as well forget getting anywhere. If you've never cheated on your taxes, don't expect to get a government position. If you've never cheated on your wife, don't expect to get elected to office again. But when you look at the people who are in office, you see all kinds of people. You see people who run brothels from their headquarters in Washington, D.C., and they get reelected time and time and time again. You see people who cheat on their income tax. You see people who embezzle funds. You see all kinds of things. And yet when election time rolls around, they get reelected. And they're most happy to confess their sins, to admit the things that they've done, since everybody knows it anyway. But there's no interest at all in repentance. Do we begin to see the difference between confession and repentance? I had an example on this just the previous couple weeks. I've been cleaning my office in preparation for painting the walls and putting a new flooring down. And I thought to myself, well, now is an opportunity. I can clean out the office. I've cleaned my office many times. I've moved things from this bookshelf over to this bookshelf. I've taken things from the bookshelf and put them in the drawer. I've cleaned my office many times, but I knew this time I had to go further than cleaning. I had to get rid of things, because there's just no room in my office for everything I have. And I told myself, I'm getting rid of all kinds of junk. In fact, I even thought of calling the people that collect our garbage and asking them if they'd bring one of those dumpsters and put it in the front. That's what I really needed. And true to my word, I did. I took 15 boxes of books over to the recycling center. I put about 4 extra bags of garbage out over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've given things away. I've thrown things away. I've recycled as much as I could. And I know very well that when I go to move everything back into the office, I won't have room for everything I have. Confessing is sort of like me cleaning the office. And it feels real good to get something off your chest, to admit something, to say, yes, I did. Or, no, I should have done it and I didn't. But God is not looking for people who confess. He's not looking for people who rearrange the furniture. He's looking for people who are willing to clean house. And repentance is going that extra step of saying, this is what I used to do, but I'm not going to do it anymore. Repentance is a change in direction. That's what the word means. Originally, the word repent had nothing to do with sin. It was a common word in everyday language, and it meant simply that you're going in one direction and you decide to turn and go in a different direction. And John the Baptist and Jesus and others like them picked up that meaning of the word and said, that's exactly what we're talking about, changing direction. Because the direction that we go in as sinners is leading a certain way. It's leading toward destruction. God has a better outcome for us. The outcome is life with Him, a relationship with Him in which we can take all of our struggles, find someone who understands, but also someone who's going to hold us accountable, who will make us a better person. But in order to get to God, He's over here. And the direction we're taking is over here. We have to change our direction and go a different way. This is why John the Baptist was preparing the way. The people are going this way. Someone special is coming over here. And if they don't change their direction, they'll never know He came. There are many people today who think that repentance is highly overrated. Even in the church, there are people who say the message of repentance does not need to be preached anymore because Jesus took care of all our sins. And because Jesus died on the cross, sin is no longer an issue. Well, the interesting thing is that the word repent or repentance occurs about three times as often in the New Testament as it does in the Old Testament. Sounds to me like repentance is more important today than it ever was before. In fact, if we take a look at the main characters of the New Testament, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, John the Baptist, we see that repentance is important to all of them. We already heard John the Baptist's whole ministry summarized by one word, repent. When Paul met up with someone who was preaching the gospel, and their preaching of the gospel was not quite what it should have been, he said, "Tell me, how did you hear about Jesus Christ?" Well, they said, "We didn't really hear about him except through John the Baptist. We're disciples of John." And so Paul said, "Well, John was good as a messenger preparing the way. He preached a ministry of repentance." So we know that John the Baptist understands the importance of repentance. Jesus also speaks about repentance. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, we will hear him complain about the towns of Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida. He will say to them, "Woe to you! You've seen miracles, you've heard great teaching, yet you failed to repent. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Sodom than it will for you. Because if they had seen the things that you have seen, and if the people of Sodom had heard the things that you have heard, they would have repented long ago." Jesus is demonstrating that anybody can witness a miracle and be amazed by it. But only people whose hearts are tender toward God will be willing to repent and do what's necessary to present themselves to God. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talks about repentance a couple of times. One time he had some friends who came up to him and said, "Hey, did you hear about those people that were in this town and the tower fell on them and killed them?" Jesus says, "Yes, I heard about that. Do you think they were any worse sinners than anyone else in that town that they died as a result of that accident? You think God singled them out to be killed because they were bad sinners? No. They're no worse than anybody else, but I tell you this, unless you repent, you will perish too. And what about those people whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices? Were they any worse sinners that they suffered such a fate? No. But I tell you, if you don't repent, you'll perish just as they did." At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus proclaimed to the Pharisees, "I have not come to call the righteous. I have come to call sinners to repentance." So we see that even for Jesus, the message of repentance is an important one. Nevertheless, there are people who think that was before the cross. Once Jesus died on the cross, you look at the ministry of Paul, he doesn't talk about repentance. Instead, he just tells us to be happy that we're saved. And don't worry about how we live because God loves us. Well, these people have obviously never read Romans chapter 2, in which Paul says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. And in the book of Acts, twice, Paul himself proclaims that his message is a message of repentance. In Acts 20, he says, "I have preached that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in Jesus Christ." And in chapter 26, he says, "I have preached everywhere I have gone. I have preached that people must turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." So Paul, in summarizing his own ministry, uses the word repentance as a key word in his message. The problem with repentance is we can't do it. I think that John the Baptist preach to people to repent, knowing that if they tried genuinely to repent, they would find that they still fail. They want to change their direction, but they don't seem to be able to. Now, this does provide an advantage for them. At least they want to. Jeremiah, in his day, spoke of the people and said that they should repent, but he said the people didn't want to repent. They said, yes, we know we're worshiping other gods. We know our God doesn't like it, but we can't help it. We love these other gods. We must worship them. The way John the Baptist prepared the hearts of the people for the coming of Jesus was to make them want to repent, to make them want to change, want to be better. Then when they found that they were unable, if they really wanted to be different, they would not be satisfied. They would be looking for some way that they could make that repentance work. And they would find that way in Jesus Christ. Paul preached a message of repentance, yet he also understood that repentance, like faith, is an act of God. In Romans, he tells us that God's kindness is what leads to repentance. And in 2 Timothy, he's advising Timothy on how to treat people in the church who are teaching a false message. He says you must correct them, but you must do it with kindness and respect, hoping that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of God. Repentance is something we need to pray to God to be able to complete. Because if we were able on our own to repent, Jesus would not have had to come. The last step of repentance is recognizing that to fully change and to truly move in a new direction, we need something beyond ourselves. This something is what Jesus offers to us through two ways. First of all, by his life, he demonstrates how we are to live. By his death, he pays the penalty of sin and releases us from the burden of that penalty. Then to all who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives a unique gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is the presence of the Holy Spirit within us that enables us, that empowers us to live the life of repentance that God has called us to. Many people think of repentance as a one-time thing. I remember when I was so many years old and I repented of my sins and I was baptized, just like Matthew 3 talks about. But anyone who really understands repentance knows it goes further than that. You might say that repentance doesn't come before baptism. Repentance gets repeated often after baptism. In fact, Martin Luther put it this way. He says, the true meaning of baptism is not an event in my past that for me happened on April 1st, 1956. Rather, baptism is a day-by-day event. Every day we die to sin, and every day God raises us up to newness of life. We cannot live the new life until we have renounced the old. But renouncing the old life is something we must do continually, because that old life clings to us. The writer of Hebrews described it as something like a spider's web. When I go out to my car in the morning, very often I'll find myself going through a few fine strands of spider's web in order to get to my car. And I go like this, and sometimes they still stick to my hands. They stick all over. And they're always there. You clean them away, one day they're back the next. Sin is like that. It clings to us like that. Paul speaks of the sin that so easily entangles us. The Bible speaks of it as a daily fight. This is the spiritual warfare that the Bible speaks of. Not fighting demons, not doing exorcisms. It's Spiritual warfare is nothing other than every day being committed to confronting the sin that exists in me, renouncing it, and calling upon God for the strength to live a new life. Paul tells us that when we come to Christ in faith, a new creation is made within us. Paul says the old is gone, the old is dead. The new creation is all that matters. But that old dead creation is still there. And it pulls us down and it pulls us away from God. And every day we must be committed to fighting and saying, no, not anymore. I've given in before, but not this time. True repentance is not something that we do and then we say to God, I'm ready for you, now you can come into my life. True repentance is saying to God, God, I've gone as far as I can. And I know that I am still not with you. I'm still not where you want me to be. So I pray that you would bring me the rest of the way and help me to do the fighting I must do along the way, knowing that you will not abandon me. John the Baptist preached a message of repentance. The crowds responded by confessing their sins. But when Jesus died on the cross, he died alone. Even his own disciples were unable to journey with him as far as the cross. Yet through the resurrection, God gives us the promise that as Jesus was raised from the dead, so we too can live a new life. The resurrection power of Christ is at work in us today. It's not just something that waits for us in the clouds. It's not just something we'll enter into when the rapture comes. It's not just something that we have to die in order to inherit. It's something that is available to us each day. It is the means by which we can repent. It is the means by which we can want to repent. And then wanting to repent, it gives us the strength to fight, and it gives us the eventual victory. John asked the question, what is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. In a way, you could say repentance is simply faith in action. And repentance is the way to Christ. And once we have been joined with Christ, repentance is the way of life with him. It's more than just admitting our sins. It's more even than being sorry for them. True repentance says, enough of this. I need to change. And by God's help, I will. God's Spirit brings us to the point of repentance. And his power enables us to repent. If we truly want to follow Christ, if we truly want to know the wisdom of God, if we truly want to live as he has called us to live, we must learn, first of all, to want it, and secondly, to seek it from God, and third, to do everything in our power to make it happen, knowing that God will be working in us to complete his will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of repentance. We thank you that repentance is possible, not in our own strength, but through the strength of your Spirit living within us. We thank you most of all for calling us to yourself, and then for hearing us when we cry out to you, for accepting us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and for giving us your Spirit to help us live as you have called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.